You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bible to Psalms chapter 11. My subject this morning, foundational values. I don't know if you have ever wrestled with God or not, but I've wrestled over this message here. I'm not here to tell you how to vote. I'm here to preach the Word of God and to give you some foundational values right out of the Word of God. I had planned to preach a message this morning, and I was just ready to do it. And it was, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, I'm going to save that one for later. But after much prayer, here Friday night, the Spirit of God just fell, and we were praying for this nation. And I went home, and God began to trouble my sleep, and I began to seek the Lord about this message. And after that, I knew what I was to preach because our foundational values are under attack. You know that foundation, they are the most important part of any building. And the value of a building, it depends upon the foundation. And if you're going to build a skyscraper, you must put a different foundation under that than you would if you're going to build a barn. I remember when I was working at Firestone, if you ever go by the Bridgestone plant there, there's a huge tower, and on that end, there's a building called the Banbury. It's three stories high, and the foundation is about as tall as that building is. I was there when we did an expansion, and I was in charge of that, and we laid a strong foundation. But foundations are important, and you and I, we are living in the most exciting time of human history. And there has never been a time when our civilization has been challenged more than it has right now. Our nation is being challenged right now. And the foundations of society and the foundations of the world, they are being challenged right now. And it's up to you and it's up to me to protect the foundations. Look at what the Word of God says in Psalms 11 and 3. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? My subject this morning, foundational values. Brother Philip, would you come and pray and ask the Lord's anointing upon the message and the messenger?
Father God, thank you again today for this privilege, this ours. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name without fear of persecution. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless your word to our hearts. We pray that you would give our pastor that anointing, that Holy Ghost anointing that makes preaching easy. Pray that you would bless, Lord, and bless our hearts. Give us anointing, that our ears will be open and receptive and our hearts ready to receive your word and our wills anointed to obey your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. I'm not here today to tell you how to vote. And I don't apologize for this message because God called me to be a watchman on the wall. I am more than a pastor, and that's why I must obey the Lord and give the clarion call and preach what God has put upon my heart. Some people will never understand the responsibility of the watchman. So I'm just going to let the word of God speak for itself. Look at Ezekiel 33 and 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him as their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He that heareth the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Isaiah talks about the watchman. He talks about the watchman that's a hireling. He talks about the false watchman, those that give no clarion call. Then he talks about the watchman of God and how the watchman of God, he has a bark and has a bite in that bark. And so I didn't choose to preach. God chose me to preach. God called me to preach, and he placed me as a watchman on the wall in this generation. And I have already decided I had rather please God than please man. America, our nation, is in trouble. And church, as a nation, we must protect our foundational values. The Bible has a lot to say about foundations. Look at Hebrews 1 and 10. The Bible says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand." See, we would not even know that the earth has foundations if we had not found that in the Word of God. It just spins upon an axis, people think, but no, it has foundations. See, God made the earth like it is, and the Lord formed it as it is. He established the security of it, and the Word of God tells us so. We read in Isaiah 28 and 16 that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the foundation of the church. The Lord upholds the world by the word of his power. What an awesome God we serve. Look at Isaiah 28 and 16. The Bible says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste," or to put it in our vernacular, "shall not be stricken with panic." The Lord Jesus Christ is that stone that has been placed as the chief cornerstone of the church. And the church, the body of Christ, we rest our entire hope of the future upon Jesus Christ and upon him only. Jesus Christ is the sure foundation, and he is the precious cornerstone. Do you love him today? Do go on and give him a praise and a glory and a hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the Word of God lets us know that there is a right and a wrong type of foundation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us about two kinds of people and two types of foundations in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, he tells us about the wise man that built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house. And that house stood because it was built upon the rock. Look at Matthew 7:25 and following. "And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." The foolish man, he built his house upon the shifting sands, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it fell, and great was the fall. Was it painted wrong? No. The paint job was all right. Was the roof defective? No. The roof was all right. It was the foundation that was wrong. And brothers and sisters, there are some things that you can take out of America, and America can sustain that. But I'm here to tell you, if we remove the foundation stone of the American society, we cannot exist as a nation. What are the foundations upon which rests this democracy? When we know that, we will know what makes America the great nation that it is. But never in history has our nation and our foundations been shaken like they are being shaken today. When we look at the past, we see empires that were shaken. Babylon, the great empire that controlled the known world at its time, it crumbled and it fell. The Bible tells us that they were feasting. They had their minds on something else rather than on security. They were feasting and they were eating. And that very night, that nation was destroyed. And that should be a warning to us that a feasting nation has already permitted its foundations to rot. Belshazzar, he made a great feast, and they drank wine from the vessels of gold and of silver that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem. They drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of bronze and of iron and of stones, false gods. Like we have people that have come into our great nation and they are praising false gods. A few years ago, if you came down the street here, Tillman Road, you wouldn't see that Islamic temple sitting there, but our foundations are being rotted away today. See, they drank wine and they praised God in Belshazzar days, the gods of gold and of silver and bronze and iron and stone. They touched the honor of God and a handwriting appeared on the wall. And Belshazzar was weighed in God's balances and he was found wanting. And that very night he died and his kingdom was taken from him. And today Babylon is a bunch of sand dunes of shifting sands where animals, wild animals, they howl because the civilization is gone. They feasted and they parted one time too many. America today is having a big party and yet we are rotting at the core. When we look at the empires of the past, we see those like Rome. It was a world empire. The last thing we see about Rome is they were meeting in great arenas and they were feeding Christians to the lions. They didn't want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they hated Christians simply because they were good. And they had men fighting against animals and the king and all the people around them. They were sports conscious. And all the media of that time, they gave most of its time to sports and to entertainment. And in the hour of sports and in the hour of entertainment and in that hour of godliness, that nation, it died. And if you go to social media today, you will see that America has gone down that same road. Church, we need a revival in the church. We need for God to speak to his people so they can come together as one. But not only do we need a revival in the church, we need a spiritual awakening in this nation. And I'm not here to tell you how to vote. I'm just here as a watchman on the wall. And I have been sent to sound the alarm. And as a watchman, I am to warn you about the coming danger. The foundations of our land, they are being challenged. So what are the foundations of this great nation? What was our country founded upon? Well, first of all, it was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today that foundational of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is being challenged in America. Now, I'm not here to tell you how to vote. I'm here to just tell you what's going on. Joe Biden and his Democrat Party, they are a threat to our religious freedoms. Joe Biden and that Democrat Party, they will not fail and not hesitate to invoke a lockdown which will close the churches across America. That's true at the national level, and that's true at the state level where Democrats are in control. There is a diabolical force behind that party. They have gone away from God. They don't want to mention God. They don't want anything about God in their platform. Joe Biden and his Democrat Party, they want to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. We are one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Our currency in the United States of America, it reads, "In God we trust." Yet that political machine wants to remove all reference to God from our nation. Joe Biden and the Democrat Party do not want the name of Jesus mentioned in the public arena. They do not want the Ten Commandments, prayer, or the Bible in our public school. Yet Joe Biden says that the religion of Islam should be taught in our public schools. Have we lost our mind? You may be thinking, well, that doesn't represent the Democrat Party, just one man. Yes, it does, my friend. It certainly does. Joe Biden said, and I quote, "I am the Democrat Party." End of quote. Our nation was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and religious freedoms. Our forefathers came to America to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, that foundational value is being challenged in America. Secondly, the sanctity of marriage is being challenged in America. Our forefathers came to this land and they brought their wives with them in order to establish a home. The home is a foundational value of our society. We must protect the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman and the Christian home. The devil wants to destroy the home. Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, they endorse same-sex marriage. Joe Biden and his running mate, Kamala Harris, they have both performed same-sex marriages. Weddings, they call them, and that is an abomination to our God. Our country was founded not upon banks and not upon big business, but this nation was founded in a humble home. And they built churches and they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ in those churches. And those churches, they acted as a school during the week. And they taught the Bible and reading and writing and arithmetic. And they educated the people. They want to take all education and the Bible out of our public schools. They want to disarm us and take away our history. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah the Hittite murdered in battle. But that God did not take that out of the book. History is there for us to learn from. The Bible, there's Old Testament stories. They are given as object lessons to help us learn and to help us make right decisions as we journey through this life. What is the strength of our land today? It is the strength of the home. That's what the political left, Hollywood, the LGBTQ community wants to do to this nation, and that is to destroy the home. I want to tell you something. They want to destroy it, but the Dems are doomed no matter what the outcome of this election. Let me say that again. The Dems are doomed no matter what the outcome of this election. When the former president, Barack Hussein Obama, put that sign of the rainbow on the White House representing the gay community, they touched the very honor of God. The rainbow is a sacred symbol to God. When God destroyed this earth with a flood because of the wickedness of man, he set a rainbow in the sky as an everlasting covenant. All you have to do to know that God is in control is to go to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis. Let's pick it up in Genesis 9 and 12. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you," look at this, "for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." And God said, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." The LGBTQ gay community and the Democrat Party, they shook their fist in the face of God when they put that rainbow over the White House. And you better believe it. The symbol of the rainbow is sacred to God. If you don't believe that, listen to this. John the Revelator, he was allowed to look into heaven and he saw the throne of God. Look at Revelation 4:2. John said, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heavens, and one sat upon the throne. And he that sat upon it was to look like jasper and a sardine stone. And that was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. You don't touch the honor of God and desecrate holy things without subjecting yourself to the raft of God. It is a dangerous thing to mock God. It is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And church, this nation needs to learn from history. Belshazzar, the king, he was the king of Babylon, and he had a great feast. And there was drunkenness, and in a drunken stupor, he brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God in Jerusalem. And he drank wine out of those sacred vessels, and that night his kingdom was taken from him. He desecrated those sacred vessels. He touched the honor of God, and that night he died. You don't touch the honor of God and get away scot-free. God is a merciful God, and God is a long-suffering God. God is a good God. But when you shake your fist in God's face and touch his grace, and you touch the mercy that God has, you don't walk away scot-free. God is the judge, and God puts down one, and God sets up another. The family is important to God, because it is a foundational value. It takes great homes to build and preserve a great nation. So number one, the foundation of religion and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being challenged. Secondly, the foundation of the home is being challenged. Thirdly, the foundation of the sanctity of life is being challenged. Abortion, it is child sacrifice. Let me say that again. Abortion, it is child sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the heathens, they sacrificed their children to the god Molech, the god of fire. Look at Leviticus 18:12. God said, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shall thou profane the name of God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Have we lost our spiritual equilibrium in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not see the corruption in the platform of the Democrat Party today? Have we lost our minds and our spiritual sensitivity? Do we not know that anyone who votes for a political party that endorses abortion and child sacrifice is guilty of murder? If you empower someone to do evil, you are just as guilty as they are. It's called in our laws aiding and abetting. Amen. That's what it is. And anyone that does that, you will stand before God and give an account of it, unless you get that sin under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to tell anyone how to vote. My assignment is simply to preach the word of God. I am a watchman on the wall, and I must give a clarion call or the blood will be upon my hands. I want you to look at this. Proverbs 6:16. There are six things doth God hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'll just list those three of the seven things that God hates, that he calls an abomination. Abortion is child sacrifice, and God calls it an abomination to him. I urge you, if you have had an abortion or took part in an abortion, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to cleanse you from that terrible sin, because God is rich in mercy, willing to forgive, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God will forgive you. He's a great, gracious God. Church, what has the church in America and our foundational values, what has it come to? Look at the rot. Look at the riots. Look at the looting. Look at the lawlessness. Look at the destruction. Look at the burning of the buildings. Defund the police. Do away with the laws. Do away with the laws and let the criminals out of jail with no bail, no trial. Just turn them loose on the streets again. Open our borders and let anybody come into our nation that wants to come into it. No, we have immigration rights and we let people come into our nation legally. And we've opened our hearts and we've opened our doors to the nations of the world. We're called the melting pot. And that's what makes America so great. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. But God believes in walls. If you don't believe it, go to Jerusalem. There's a wall there with 12 gates around it. One of them is sealed up. And when Jesus comes, he's going to split that eastern gate when he puts his foot upon the Mount of Olivet. And the church, glory to God, is going to be victorious, because I've read the book. Glory to God. And guess what? When the New Jerusalem comes down, it has walls on it. God believes in walls. I believe in walls. Our president said that walls and wheels will never go out of style. I believe he got it right. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Listen to me, church. We live in a fool's paradise with fools running many of our major cities. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Freedom is one of our greatest blessings, and we must protect our constitutional rights and our constitutional freedoms. Do you know that 24 of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, they held seminary degrees? These men were not seeking freedom from religion. They were seeking freedom of religion. Hallelujah. And whether certain elements of our culture want to admit it or not, America was founded by Christian leaders, and America was formed on the basis of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. America's faith and American freedom, they go hand in hand, and you cannot separate the two. Let me say that again. America's faith and America's freedom, they go hand in hand, and you cannot separate the two. Glory to God. God cares about nations. Look at Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen, look at this, for his own inheritance. And if I preach not the gospel, woe be unto me. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. And I decided to place my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the forefathers of this nation, they place their faith in that same blood, and the foundational values of this United States of America, they are based upon the Word of God. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Look at that verse, Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance. America is a great nation, because God has shed his grace upon us. Let me say that again. God is a great nation because God has shed his grace upon us. God raised up the nation of America. And this election is a battle for the soul of America. I said this election is a battle for the soul of America. This coming election will not only impact America, but the Middle East and then the entire world. President Donald Trump, he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and not Tel Aviv. And he moved the United States Embassy to Jerusalem on May the 14th, 2018. That was the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And by doing this, President Trump, he removed the city of Jerusalem from the negotiating table. He's a negotiator. That is no longer something to be negotiated and fought over. President Trump set things in order. And by doing this, hallelujah, that meant that the Arab nations who agreed to the Abraham Accord recognized the statehood of Israel and they signed a peace accord. That happened because God placed the man there to lead us. God placed somebody with some spine. God knew that America was in trouble. God can turn the heart of the king just like he can the river wherever he pleases. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And church, what are we to do? We are to keep these foundational values by casting our vote on the right side. Amen. See, when they signed that peace treaty, that's something people thought would never happen. Well, you may be asking, well, Pastor, who's going to win the election? Of course, no one knows. But we will know in the coming days. We don't know, but we know in the coming days. God has already declared the end of the matter from the beginning. Hallelujah. I close with this. This election is so critical. For as goes America, so goes the world. Yes, God will still be on his throne and Jesus will still be Lord no matter what the outcome of this election. But God was on his throne and Jesus was Lord before God ever raised up this great nation called America. We need to protect these three foundational values. Number one, religious freedom. Number two, the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. Number three, the sanctity of life. I fought a war for the rights and for the freedoms of people to vote as they choose. That is your freedom. I'm not here to tell anybody how to vote. I'm here to take the word of God, to rightly divide it, and to tell you what is going on in our nation. I think about the bloodshed, the forefathers that came here, the shipwrecks, those that didn't make it, the hard winters, all of the things that have gone on in our great nation that our history reveals. Some great things and some things that we just thank God we finally got some sense about it. Hallelujah. But have you ever known a family that didn't have some problems? Have you ever known a church that didn't have some problems? Have you ever known anyone that wasn't facing something? Yet God has placed in our hands, and it's up to us to place it in our hearts, his word. And he has placed in our hands the right to cast our vote. I'm not here to tell you how to vote. I'm just here to tell you, cast your vote on the right side. President Donald J. Trump, He won the 2016 election against all odds. This was the word that the Lord gave me in the 2016 election. I'm going to share it with you. I don't have a word yet about this election. Look at Job 33:14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God said, I've tried to talk to them, but they wouldn't listen to me. Jesus says over and over again in the book of Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Job 33:14, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. And here it is. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. What is my prayer today? My prayer is, Lord, do it again. Let us stand. I just want us to spend our time. As Pastor Ricky plays, I want us to spend our time. If you want to stand and pray, if you want to pray in your seat, if you want to come to the altar and spread out and pray, I want us to pray for this great nation. I want us to pray for God to move and to help us as a people. We, the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, establish liberty and justice for all. And our declarations declare that everyone has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If I take a life through child sacrifice, how in the world could that person? Do you know that our forefathers, they put life first? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How can you have liberty and how can you pursue happiness if there is no life? Father, we pray that you will forgive us of this great sin of abortion. Lord, this scourge that has gone through our land. We pray, God, that you will help us to reestablish, Lord, laws in this land. There's a higher law. Lord, our lawmakers have become lawbreakers, and they have put laws in this land, God, that they're contrary to your word. But the word of God shall stand forever. And God, there is a higher law. It is called the word of God. And today, Lord, we ask you to forgive us in America, Lord, for walking away from God at the place of fullness. Lord, you have a church. You have a remnant. You have a people, oh God, who love you, who love your word, who want peace. And you said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Oh God, help us to study your word and help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Help us, God, as a nation. Help us as a people. Lord, we've got seed. You're a generational God. And you said the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to the children's children. Lord, you said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy household. You said, great shall be the peace of thy children. Lord Jesus, you are called the Prince of Peace. You're the Prince of Life. You're the Bread of Life. You're the Water of Life. You're the Way, the Truth, and the Life. And God, we pray that you will forgive us of that sin of child sacrifice and taking little babies out of the mother's womb and killing them now, God, when they are on the table, that a doctor stands there and some politician has made a law where you can take and kill that little baby. Oh, God, forgive us. Oh, God, we have lost our direction. We have lost our spiritual sensitivity. Oh, God, help the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to rise up while they sleep, while they slumber. Oh, God, give them instruction in their mind and seal that instruction. Oh, God, help us in America. Help us, oh, God, as a church. Lord, we're in perilous times that people, they're departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We know that we're in the last days, but we're here, God, to let your light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us as a nation. Forgive us as a people. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cover this earth. Let the blood that declares victory and freedom from sin, let that blood, praise God, let it cover the earth. Lord, we're not concerned so much about your kingdom because you said, I'm going to build my kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're concerned right now about our nation. And God, we are part of the kingdom. And you said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom is not out there and over there somewhere. It's inside of us. It is righteousness. It is peace. And it is joy in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we don't want to go into a season of mourning and having church underground. No, Father, we want to have church out where it's supposed to be, out in the public arena, out where men have freedom to lift up holy hands without fear, without wrath unto God, and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We love you, Lord. Our prayer is, Lord, help us, and Lord, do it again. Against all odds, O God, do it again. Against the political machines that think they can control things, O God, let them know that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. Hallelujah. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we worship you, Lord. And Lord, whatever comes or whatever goes, we know that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. But God, we pray from the depths of our spirit, and we pray it with sincerity of heart. God, bless America from sea to shining sea. For as goes America, so goes the world in these end times. Glory.
My soul, my Savior, God,
hallelujah,
to thee.
How great thou art. Praise team. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Sing to your King, sing to your Father, sing to your Lord. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah! Glory! Glory, glory, glory! Thank you, Jesus.
How great!
Love you, Lord. Glory!
How great thou art!
Can you lift your hands and sing?
Then sings my soul.
Amen.